All right, go ahead, talk. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. Do it. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. TheWordBros.com. Hello. Oh, you beat me to it. Hello and welcome to a brand new edition of the Word Bros.
Word Bros.
It is new comic book day. That means it's new Word Bro Day. And welcome.
Word Bros.
My name is Bob, and I am your co-host on this Word Bro adventure.
I'm Kevin, and I'm also your co-host on this Word Bro adventure.
All right, now Kevin and I, we're not arguing about it per se, but we argued a little about it, a little bit about it on Twitter. We had a guest cancel on us. She canceled at like 5:30 because she was super busy with her 9-to-5 gig. And when you're a creative, it's not really a 9-to-5. It's like it's a whenever you start to whenever you get to go home kind of
24/7, baby. Yes.
And she said, I'm not going to be able to come on today. I'm sorry. I was like, hey, don't worry about it, because I bailed on her last week because something came up. So I said, hey, don't worry about it. We'll have you on another time. So we needed a guest quick.
So we got one.
So we got one, but it just happens to be the artist of our book, Full Moon Fredo, Angela Sprecher, Angela Spreacher, as I've been calling her forever, but I learned better. And Kevin said that that's lame because it's just like nonstop promotion for our brand new book. But I disagree because we need a guest. We're in a pinch. What do you want?
But we disagree often. But yes. We work it out because we love each other. Because
we—that's so true.
So like,
we're bonded by words, bro.
Which is the funniest part about this pod, because we're the most non-bro-y dudes ever.
No, it's a fun name.
It is a fun name. Did you just yawn?
Yes, I'm tired. I've been up since I'm sure you've been up just as long.
Yeah, I have.
It's crazy. The kids just—it's summertime, man. These kids is—they just go like.
That should be the intro song. You should just get the cars. Summer, summer, summer.
13, 14 hours a day, man. These kids is crazy, Jack.
They be trying to do everything.
They
want to get the ice cream. They want to be at the playground, Dad. They want to be at the summer camp. They want to be swimming. They want to be doing all that.
And the dude abides most of this stuff, but like by, 8 o'clock, I almost fell asleep.
You wore out.
It's a lot.
I got you. I understand.
Summer's crazy, man. Summer's crazy.
Parenting is hard. See, like, that's something that we don't ever get to talk about on Word Bros, but we're both parents. So
yeah.
We have other duties besides talking to you guys about comics.
And being bros and writing the finest words.
We don't do that, though. And doing
all that stuff. But we get to talk to cool people, and we get to talk to people that we like, and we get to talk about things that we like. And so we have Angela on again, last-minute guest. I apologize. Last minute. What can we do? What can we do? We needed a guest. I was talking to her on Twitter. I was like, hey.
You want to come on?
We'll just ask Angela, and she graciously decided to come on with us.
She did accept our invite, so that was
cool. We talked about her going to SCAD and doing our book and working with creatives and working with writers and stuff like that. So it was actually pretty informative, So
you guys should enjoy this episode. Yeah. And without further ado, here is Angela Sprecher.
Yeah, Spreacher, not Spreacher, Sprecher, dummy. All right,
just record the audio or?
Yeah, just the audio and video. But I don't know. We don't really do anything with the video yet. We haven't got that far. Maybe this will be the first one. We are joined today by the lovely and talented and super terrific and fantastic artist extraordinaire of our own book, Full Moon Fredo.
Same shelf promo.
I'll explain that too. Angela Spreacher, everybody. Say hello to Angela Spreacher.
Sprecher.
Sprecher?
Sprecher.
It's Sprecher. All right, so I've been saying it wrong all this time. We've been giving you all these props all over the place. We've been butchering your last name.
Oh, my God, really? Okay.
Somewhere, Angela Spreacher is an artist, and she's stoked that everybody loves her shit.
Free revenue.
Oh. Yeah, dude. Angela Sprecher. Okay, all right.
It's incredibly German.
It sounds incredibly German.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why we work so well together, because my last name is France, which is also German. So
there you go.
Kevin, are you Italian or something?
I'm part Italian and part Irish.
The Axis powers coming together. No.
Bad form.
That's a terrible promo for a book.
I'm gonna edit that out. But you never know. I mean, with the Trump supporters, we could blow up.
So. Oh, you don't want that support.
No, we don't. I'm just being a dummy, and I'm gonna edit all this stuff out anyway.
Hold on. Let me get my. Hold on.
Yeah, do what you gotta do. That's right, dude. Angela Sprecher. Now I know. Sprecher.
Sorry, I keep leaving Sprecher. You people. I had to get water in case I
Sprecher.
Sprecher. Yeah, with a hard K. I had to get my disgusting furry mug. So
do whatever you got to do, man. This is your world. we're just happy to have you on the show.
Happy to have you on the show.
Now, Kevin was, I don't want to say anti having you on the show.
That's not what it means.
Well, that's what I said. It's not anti. It's just.
How could you be anti me?
Exactly. I mean, you is great. Kevin is afraid that it'll come off too much as just like a shameless plug for our book.
That's what I said. That's what I said.
How is that a bad thing, first of all?
That's one thing. To be fair, you can't get the book anywhere but cons. It's not on sale anywhere else.
Well, I'm about to put it on the store, Envy.
Well.
Yeah, there you go.
That changes things.
That's pretty convenient. So, but normally, typically, it's only available in person at shows that Kevin or I do. And
Rich from Heroes and Villains has some copies, though.
Okay, well then Rich from Heroes and Villains in Hampton. So if you live in Hampton,
only
or
Hampton,
or you know Kevin and I, and you don't go to Angela Spricker's store, you can't get the. So it's not like it's in stores. It's not like it's in previews or anything. Not yet, because that's what we're building towards.
Working on that.
We can get it in stores.
I think it'll happen eventually. Yeah. That's the your mouth to God's ears.
It's a good book.
There you go.
It's a
damn good book.
Now it's turning into like we're all patting each other on the back saying how awesome we are.
Good job, everybody. Good job.
But what happened was our original guest fell through. We were going to have Sheila Valerio.
Kill her last name, too.
I can't do it. I'm not good with last names.
It's Italian, so it's Valerio.
It's vowels. It's vowels.
Sheila. Sheila, you could go Sheila V.
Sheila V was going to come on from geek.com, but she got swarmed at the last minute, so we needed a guest. And we were talking on Twitter, so I said, hey, do you want to come on? Because you do your own thing. You've got your own cons that you go to. You have your own experiences making art, soliciting work from people, the whole nine yards. So, I mean, I'm sure you have some insight that Kevin and I wouldn't have as writers.
Oh, God, none at all.
Well, then this is going to be totally pointless. Then we're all screwed here. This is the dumbest thing ever.
No, it turns out I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, you know what? You're faking it really, really well. Now, Angela and I, this is the first time we've ever actually spoke, I think, face-to-face like this, but we met on Twitter maybe about 2 years ago. You were posting up, so I guess somebody retweeted some work that you were doing,
it was like a year, wasn't it?
Something like that. Well, no, yeah, it was
a little less.
Who knows? Oh, no, because we've been talking about doing this book or just a book together for quite some time. I saw your work on Twitter and I really, really liked it. And I just friended you and DM'd you and like, hey, your work's awesome. I threw the Monty Action Lab thing out there to prove that I had some pull. Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, let's do something. And you say,
he's like, I have some credentials.
Well, I mean, well, that's what we were talking about last week. It's like you kind of have to almost pull the kind of work card so people know that you're serious.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you get hit up by a lot of crackpots that want to do comics, but they don't have scripts or ideas, or they just want to make comics.
So the thing is that I actually get more people who have the ideas and have the scripts ready, but don't have like any, what's a good funding for it is the thing. And like, ideas are great and scripts are great and it's good that you have a jumping off point, but I mean hell, man. I do this is part of my job, you know. When I'm not doing the day job, I'm doing this. So I usually have to tell people, well, that's awesome, this sounds really good, I have to wait until you have some kind of, at least some kind of compensation.
Yeah.
Which probably makes me sound like a like a real money grabber, but
no,
it's
absolutely,
just it's part of the job, man. It's
no,
it
absolutely
is a job.
Your page rate was really reasonable, so we won't mention that on air unless you want.
No, we won't. Well, to be fair, I would have loved more.
Well, you know what? We would have loved to give you more, but we negotiated something quite nice, and I think it worked out for everybody.
Yeah.
But the point being, it's like, so you get hit with offers where it's like, oh, well, I'll give you a percentage of the back end. And do you ever hear that as an artist, people kind of coming at you with those?
Yeah, all the time. All the time. And I mean, so I used to take a lot of back end pay projects. And that was when this wasn't as big of a job for me, you know, mm-hmm. where I was still kind of getting off my feet and needed some exposure. And I really try not to do that anymore because back end is really risky. Cause you can't really, what's a good word for it? Predict back end pay.
Yes.
And I like to be able to predict my pay.
Well, I mean, I've always said with back pay, with a back end pay, 50% of zero is zero.
Yeah, you know what I'm definitely.
Saying? So, I mean,
there's nothing saying how well a book will sell. Ergo, I ask for payment up front nowadays.
No, which is good. I mean, you gotta watch out for number one. You know, that's just the way it is. I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You can't,
yeah,
you can't
I hate that it. I started out this. Oh, whatever, I started James. Out this thing like pay me.
Well, I mean,
really positive podcast, guys.
No, it's all Kevin's fault.
Yeah, probably is. But we always go for the real on here. We ask, you know, some real questions, and we try and get it as real as possible for people that listen, because a lot of people have romantic notions about the comic book industry.
They do. That's true.
And we're not here to destroy a romantic notion, but sometimes you have to take that big dream that you have of your stuff becoming a movie or something like that and ground it with some reality and realize that it's a long game, like we said on other podcasts.
Not everyone is going to share your vision, and not everyone is going to be willing to put in the effort and the work for free. And you shouldn't even – I mean, Kevin and I kind of have the idea that, like, you shouldn't even ask. Like, it's,
no, yeah, that's true.
You got to pay. You got to pay somebody. You know, somebody's got to pay to play. You know,
you should ask the page rate, and then if you don't agree with the page rate, I wouldn't say bargain and or haggle.
Well, you have to haggle a little bit.
I mean, you do. But I'm saying is, the best possible situation for both folks is if you ask the page rate and it's something you can't afford, make that clear. Like, you know, say, hey, I can't really afford $130 a page. Like, I'm. You know, I do this for a living, and I don't do comics for a living at this point, and that's just not a feasible amount I can pay. And if they come down, if they want to come down, let them, and then work it out. Mm-hmm. But if they don't, you have to just accept what they said what their page rate was, because that's part of the business. You have to be like, hey, look, $80, $70, $100, that's reasonable. I can do that. Whatever the bargaining, wherever the bargaining may take you,
yes,
is reasonable, mm-hmm. but and both a positive thing for both parties. But when you actually just go, no, I can only afford 70, and they said their page rate's 130, the best thing to do there is part ways.
Yeah,
I don't think there's a midpoint there. You just have to come back to them when you can afford that page rate. So
yeah. So Angela, you are a graduate. Well, anyway, the point being was I saw your work on Twitter and I was just kind of floored by it. I really loved it. And we had been talking.
Oh, shucks.
Well, I mean, you're super talented. I mean, I was blown away by it. I really liked it. And this was around the time we were going to do Chase the Moon.
Yes.
We had to put Chase our book with Angela on hold to do another book, but then the book that we were doing didn't get done, so then we came back around to make sure we had something, and that's how this whole thing came about. But I saw your work, and I was surprised. I'm surprised that you don't have more work, because, I mean, it is – you have such a vibrant and kind of fun style. Like, is that what you're going for? Are you going for, like, an all-ages look? Can you draw different styles? Like, do you have kind of one in particular, or –
Well, it's funny. I just draw what the story requires. So I'm really good at an all-ages style, but I also really, really love doing, like, horror stories. I'm very, very into, like, really, like, weird 80s body horror. I just happen to get a lot of all ages work right now because people tend to like my all ages stuff.
It's great. It's good. Awesome. You went to you graduated from SCAD, yes?
Yeah. Yep.
Right. So you're a SCAD kid. Gotta love the SCAD kids. I've had nothing but nice experiences with SCAD kids.
It's a hell of a school. While I was there, it was a hell of a school. It's a real gauntlet, but it does teach you it teaches you to deal with really, really tough deadlines. At least the sequential part department did while I was there.
Okay.
Now, granted, I graduated in 2013.
Oh, wow. You're just a kid. Kevin and I are old enough to be Kevin's
old girl.
Kevin's old enough to be your dad.
I'm a big girl. Don't say that.
She put her big girl pants on to get on a podcast, and you said
I put on my big girl Speed Racer shirt for this.
So for our listeners that don't know what SCAD is, because a lot of people that are listening to it kind of want to do comics and they don't understand what that means, can you explain what SCAD is?
SCAD stands for Sleep Comes After Death.
That changes everything.
So SCAD stands for Savannah College of Art and Design.
Yes.
It's an art college. It's down in Savannah, Georgia.
It's very prestigious.
It's quite prestigious. I was very, very lucky to get in. It is an excellent school. The networking is fantastic. I had an amazing time there, and met some of my best friends in the whole world, and I loved it. Look at me now, working on Full Moon Fredo with these schmucks.
That was perfect. We're using that as a pull quote.
I mean, it's pretty much spot on. I mean, I'm just surprised you figured it out so quickly. Most people we can fool for a little while.
We thought our ruse was actually good.
Yeah. To be a loser? Are you still there? There's Gary. Yeah, dude. So you went to Savannah School of Art and Design, and how long have you been working?
Did you get it?
Yeah. Oh, okay. How long have you been working professionally now?
Oh my God, since I graduated, actually.
Okay.
So it started really small, a lot of like just kind of off the cuff, guy off the street commissions, which I still do on a regular basis. And then I got some paid work for a webcomic called My So-Called Secret Identity.
Okay.
Which I've bumped on my Twitter before, but it's like a neat feminist manifesto kind of superhero reality jumping thing. It's very, very cool. The guy who heads it, Will Brooker, is a phenomenal dude. And I did some coloring work on that. And since then it's just kind of been networking, doing cons, more networking. Obviously the Twitter thing's been working. That's where
fan base
revenue. I guess fan base. That's where most of my traction comes from.
Okay. Yeah, because I noticed like everything that all the drawings that you post, and if you don't follow Angela on Twitter, you definitely should. What is your Twitter handle?
It is at Spreck4.
Spreck, not Spreech.
Spreck4, not Spreech. At Sprech number 4.
Number 4. Yeah. You post a lot of drawings there, and I noticed that all your drawings get, I mean, retweets and likes and all kinds of stuff. So I mean,
well, they damn well better.
I mean, well, that's awesome though. I mean, because I mean, you could see sometimes people, I feel like some artists who are very talented post things on Twitter, and it's almost like they're pissing in the wind, like they don't get that traction, they don't get those likes, they don't get those retweets. So yeah. I mean, what do you kind of attest to that? Are you very active on social media that way? Like, do you respond to a lot of people who talk to you, or?
It's really, really important that you respond to the people who talk to you, because especially in this day and age, people really, really like direct contact with the creators. People really like feeling that they're counted and that they have like a direct line of communication with these people whose work really means a lot to them. So definitely always, always like interact with the people who interact with you. And a lot of it is just networking from SCAD, just people I know who ended up also going places. And a lot of it is just doing my own footwork. So like scouting artists that I really like and following them and being like, hey, I really like your art. And sometimes you drum up a relationship with them and you kind of scratch each other's back. And the con circuit has also been really, really helpful.
Okay, now what do you do a lot of shows every year? Because you're based out of what, Maryland, I guess?
Yeah, I'm based out of like right between DC and Baltimore.
Okay, all right.
The hell zone between the two major cities. So
what shows do you do normally?
So I do a lot of furry cons. And that's less for networking and more because they're really, really good money.
Now, what's a furry con? I've never heard of a furry con.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Do you know what a furry is?
People who dress up like characters and have sex with each other?
Not always the sex.
Okay, because yeah. That's what I thought. I don't know. I'm dumb. I don't know these things.
Yeah, generally, it's a catch-all term for people who really like cartoon animals.
Okay.
I like how it automatically equated to sex for
Bob. I saw it on Entourage. I don't know. That's what I thought a furry was.
I saw it on Entourage, so it had to be real.
I don't know, man. I see all kinds of weird stuff on TV, man. I don't know.
Marky Mark dresses like a fox. I saw it.
It's real weird. So you go to these furry cons and you crush it there. You just do it.
Yeah, man. Furries have a lot of money. Number one. Number two,
What do they keep?
If they're furry,
some of the fursuits have pockets, man. Some of them are really, really well made.
That's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Listen, I've accepted the fact that I'll probably own a fursuit at some point just by like contact with it.
That's awesome.
Just because it'll happen. So I do that a lot because they have a lot of money. And that's less professional networking and more like jobs you can pick up from people.
Yeah.
So like one-off commissions and stuff, some repeat customers. So that's nice.
You're like more for fun so than work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's work too, but like it's not like comic work. How do I explain it? it's more like supplemental. It's generating supplemental income.
Okay.
Because you put out your feelers at a furry con and you get some revenue there, and then people come back and they're like, hey, can I get another commission? So that's like my big commission thing.
Okay.
So make good money there. As far as like actual networking goes for like comics and illustration, that would be like comic cons and like small press stuff.
Okay, because you did do Small Press Expo last year, correct?
Yeah, and I'm going back this year, actually.
Oh, that's awesome, because the artist who did our book, The Elvis Adventures, she went to Small Press
Expo. Yeah, Rachel Ordway was there as well, yeah.
And she, ooh, very cool.
She did The Elvis Adventures for us, so she was telling us that she was going to Small Press Expo to promote the book, so that was awesome of her.
Nice. I wish I had known, or else I would have said hi. Because I was stuck in my table for most of the time.
That's good though. Being stuck at your table at a show is pretty rad because that means you're working.
Yep. And getting paid.
Yeah. Making them dollars, son. So you do Small Press Expo, you do furry cons, but you're still trying to your eventual goal is to be a full-time professional comic book artist, yes?
Or at least a full-time professional artist.
Okay.
Because the thing is that I love doing comics, but it's not like the end-all be-all for me because I also love concept art and I do illustration and cover art. So I think my main general goal would be to be a house artist somewhere where I like have a nice steady like paycheck or pay rate or something, and I just get to draw as my main job. Just die. I would love that.
Yeah.
And it could be doing anything. I don't care. Comics, illustration, concept art.
So where are your influences from in your art? Well, what artists have influenced you on your journey?
Oh God, they're all over the place.
That's okay.
Well, let's see. I'm very into Ed Roth and like the kind of custom car culture of like the 60s and 70s and that sort of thing. So anything Ratfink related, I'm super, super, super into. Ratfink,
that's awesome.
Yeah, baby. I really like the kind of the underground comics of like the 80s and all. I love a lot of the artists there. Love their work. A lot of the artists at that time were kind of skeezy people. You know, it's the Art Crumb kind of thing. I love Art Crumb's work. Can't stand the guy. It's one of those things. And unfortunately, that was kind of a part of that time period. But like, I love the styles that came out of that. I love the weird grittiness and the wild visuals.
That's awesome.
What else? Really into like vintage anime and experimental looking stuff. So Osamu Tezuka's huge for me, and Ishinomori, Junji Ito. I like a lot of stuff.
And you're also really into drawing talking monkeys for two guys.
I am. I'm also really inspired by talking monkeys and talking jackets. Yeah,
I think that's how we sold it to you. It was like, it's got a talking monkey, and she was like, I'm in. That was it.
I think she go ahead.
The way you sold it to me was actually like you gave me the script, and you gave first of all you gave me the characters. Just like a rundown of the characters, and I read them all, and I was like, oh god, this is a Hanna-Barbera cartoon. and I was like, fucking sweet. I'm also really into the Hanna-Barbera Rankin-Bass kind of era. So I was like, I was down, man.
Because when we started to write it, we wanted to do that with Luke, so we could talk about Fredo for a second. Like
that's the whole point.
Yeah, we wanted to do that.
Read Fredo.
It's good, dude. I'm telling you, it's good. It's good.
It's a great book.
And we're all kind of going through the same thing with the book now because, like, I set a deadline for the pitch. I want the pitch to be out by like the end of the month, so we can see where we're going from here and talk Kickstarter and all that stuff if we don't get picked up and yada yada yada. So there's so much that kind of, I think a lot of people who are making comics kind of are going through all at the same time too, like, well, if my pitch doesn't land, I'll just do a Kickstarter for an OGN and we'll go from there and blah, blah, blah.
It's okay, we just have to be as good as Bone and Scholastic will pick us up.
Yeah, I mean, we got that. I mean,
we just gotta be Bone.
Hard is what that is. That's just hard.
No.
So the thing about Full Moon Fredo that we both really liked about it was we wanted to do something that was like kid scary, like Scooby-Doo in a way. And so when Bob first showed me your art, I was like, dude, her art's awesome. And he's like, yeah, I love it. He's like, you like it? I was like, I like it. He's like, it's really good. And he's like, yeah, we should do something with it. We should like talk to her about doing this. And what we've talked about it before, but I don't know if we talked about it on this pod yet. It was the concept was initially something way different than and that's something I bring up to tell our listeners about, because it's basically a lesson about not having to stick to one idea.
Because
people get stuck in things. And our original concept was Haley was the little girl, and she had a friend, her best friend, and I don't remember what we named her.
Yeah, I don't remember her name either.
I think it was Alexandra, and something she went like by Alex or something like that. And then we had her little brother, who had a slingshot. That was like our descriptors of him. He had like a slingshot that he was good with, and they all went to the same elementary school, and one of their teachers was David Bowie, and he was a vampire, and the other teacher was Alan Rickman, and he was like a vampire hunter. But Alan Rickman looked more like a vampire, like a traditional, like, black and white Bela Lugosi vampire than David Bowie does. So David Bowie was kind of like the dude that was kind of like, hey, I'm your cool history teacher. And Alan Rickman was like, I'm your kind of nerdy, kind of isolated, kind of introverted math teacher. And when we were looking at solicits for other books, what we saw was there was a whole bunch of other books that had that kind of thing going on. Does that sound about right to you, Bob?
Yeah, you forgot the title character, though, Full Moon Fredo was a horror movie host. So the kids were convinced that their math teacher was a monster. So they go to their horror movie host because they think he's an expert on killing monsters and stuff like that, but he's just some guy, he can be a weatherman. So yeah. It's just like this weird kind of hodgepodgey thing, but it didn't really work out because there were too many books along those lines. It seems like most all ages horror books take place in school with like a scary teacher or something. So we needed to kind of get it out of that. So we turned it into Scooby-Doo.
I mean, it's funny, but like it does like feel more hodgepodge than how Fredo turned out.
Yeah,
for
yeah,
sure.
It was a wonderful marriage of talent on your end and stupidity on Kevin and I's.
Yeah, we're good at stupid.
Yeah, I'm really pleased with the way it turned out, and I mean, like, it's just a wonderful book, and I think you really did a great job on it. So it's very nice.
I had a blast with it. Oh my god, I had an amazing time with it.
Because like the pages they just kind of crackle. Like there's just an energy involved, you know, like. It's just really fun to read. It's really fun to flip through. Like people, when they see it at the table, they're really excited by like the idea of it, and they see the artwork and they're really into that too. I think it worked out rather well. So now it's just a matter of pitching, and that's the hard part. Getting the, that's the, you know, the 800-pound gorilla in the room. Like, what do we do with this thing now? So that's kind of what we're working on at the moment.
What you do is you throw it at as many people as you can.
Yeah.
Just as many freaking people. If you're doing cons, get the elevator pitch ready.
Yeah.
We actually just came up with that at Tidewater, which is funny.
Really?
What's the elevator pitch, Bob? The elevator pitch is, it's what, Ghostbusters, and Indiana Jones with Scooby-Doo.
There you go.
So it's three things.
I don't
things.
Like it.
Yeah, it works, man. I mean, people hear those like things and they go, I like those things. Like, yeah, of course you do, because they're all awesome.
Yeah, it's all and funny enough, the book is actually equal parts all those things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always describe it to people as Scooby-Doo, but also Johnny Quest.
Which is good, too.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question.
It feels like, a little like both.
When it came to character design and stuff, like, how long did you tinker with the designs for? I mean, I know Fredo, being a real person, I imagine he was probably the easiest one to draw, or am I completely wrong about
that? You at least gave me a basis for him, so he was pretty fast, actually. I only did a couple roughs of him, and like, for all the roughs, the silhouette didn't really change. He was always kind of a... round and pretty pleasant looking, which, well, I think that's important for a character like this, especially if a character like this is the main character. I figured it would suit to have him be like round and pleasant, as opposed to like everything else in the book, which is like monsters. And fox. So, and fox being fox. Haley was actually pretty hard.
Which is surprising.
I don't know what.
I saw your character designs on her. It looked like it came pretty natural to you because you already knew what you wanted to do with her hair. Like, I was like, dang, she already knows what she wants to do with this girl. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, Haley was hard because I knew what I wanted to do, but I didn't know how I wanted it to look when it came together. That makes sense.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Zibbles was easy because that's just a chimp in a smoking jacket.
Yes.
You know, whatever.
And Fox, I will say, like, some of the chimp designs that you did, like, they were really good. Like, they were, like, real deal. Like, you're drawing, like, monkeys out of a goddamn, like, encyclopedia. Like,
National Geographic monkey.
Yeah, they looked more lifelike and less cartoon than I imagined. I was like, wow, there's that one you did with his mouth open in particular. Wow, that's really amazing.
Thank you. That's kind of what I was talking about, where I kind of have a bunch of different styles depending on what I need. So I have like the really cartoony Fredo stuff, and then there's also, I mean, I also do a lot of like natural looking stuff, hence like the body horror and all, and hence like the actual like animal concept art and stuff. I mean, that, to be fair, that was actually, I think, possibly the first time I had drawn a chimp.
Really?
Because
It seemed so natural.
You said that on Twitter. It was really
I hadn't. I hadn't had a reason to draw a chimp until the moment you gave me a monkey in a smoking jacket. So, you know.
She said something like on Twitter. It says it was something like, something I've always wanted to draw but never had the opportunity to, and then she drew the realistic chimp. And there was the first design of Zibbles next to it, and I was like, he looks dope! and then we talked. It was awesome because I was like, that's crazy. Like, she's like, I've never had to draw a chimp before, so I'm going to have to start, like, practicing drawing a chimp for this book.
It's a damn good-looking chimp.
There you go. He is a good look. Lo and behold, he looks like a chimp. Yeah, thank you.
He looks great. And the idea of the chimp is the ghost hunter, the legendary ghost hunter, his soul, his mortal soul is taken from his human body and placed in that of a chimpanzee. And so now you have this, like, this Fraser Crane style chimpanzee walking around this book wearing a smoking jacket.
Don't spoil it.
Well, the whole point is he wants to get his body back. Like, that's he wants his body. He wants to return to his human form. So that's why he hires Fredo. That's why he's working with Fredo and Haley. I guess not really hires is
a strong word. That's assuming they get paid for any of this.
They don't get paid.
They just get paid. They're taking back end money like everybody else is.
Well, Fredo in the book is actually just more excited to go try and hunt ghosts because he's hunting fame.
Yeah, he just wants to be a ghost hunter. There's no other reason. Now, let me ask you a question. Like, when you're working for someone, because this is like a for-hire basis, like, do you feel the need to, like, interject your own opinions about the stories or about, like, the camera angles and stuff like that? Or do you just basically draw what's on the page? Or does it depend on the relationship with the writer? How does that work out normally?
That's a good question.
That was a damn good question. Hold on. Thank you.
Pat yourself on the back.
Thank you. All right, go ahead. Answer, please. I took my home run trot.
Good job.
Oh, she's freezing on us.
Yes.
She was so offended by the question, she just left. I think she's gone.
Oh, no. You patted yourself on the back and see what happened.
Too much. I know. I patted myself too much and now she's gone.
You patted yourself on the back and now we got to fix this.
She'll be right back. The question will still be the same because it's going to echo in time forever.
Echo in time forever. That sounds like Outer Limits.
Thing. Yeah. There we go. She'll come back. There she is. The question was so good it broke the internet.
Wow, dude, you should doubly pay. Like, you Babe Ruthed that one. Dude, you hit it so far out of the park that you fucked up the internet. Al Gore is mad at you now.
Yep. There it is. There she is.
Yeah, okay. Sorry about that. My computer decided that this was a bad idea.
Oh, whatever. So that question was too good.
Let's see. It was so... It depends on my, like, relationship with the writers, I guess, or the collaborators. Usually I tend to keep my grubby mitts off of it.
Okay.
And that's – a lot of that is just kind of a personal thing because I really like having the distinction between my art is my art and this is my art and your writing is your writing and that's your writing.
Okay.
So, like, I mean, but for, like, things like camera angles, I guess – and sometimes minor placement, then I'll just kind of work with it. And if something's going horribly wrong, like if something in the writing definitely isn't making sense visually, then I'll change it.
Okay.
But usually I try to stay true to the script.
That's interesting.
That's fair. So are there any comic books you're reading right now that you love?
What's a comic book?
That's a good question too.
That's very deep. Let's think about that one.
I'm staring at my bookshelves and I don't see the irony of it is that I don't really have a lot of time to read anymore.
That's
what everybody in every artist says usually. Writers usually different. They usually say they read a couple things, but they don't get to read as much as they used to. Artists always say, I really don't have time to read.
I gotta draw this stuff. What are you talking about?
Basically. Yeah. So, it's a imbalance of, like, time that must be spent doing the thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
Totally not pooping on writers or anything, but there's definitely a lot more. There's definitely a lot more time that goes into the drawing aspect of it.
Oh yeah.
Hence why I can draw comics but not read them anymore. hell, but I mean, right now, a lot of stuff I'm reading is, like, kind of one-off-y single issues. Like, I picked up Monty a while ago, and I picked up some of the recent Street Fighter issues. And other than that...
I will say I loved your Monty. You drew the Monty stuff that I really, really liked it.
Thank you. Monty was great. I loved Monty.
Oh, you're just saying it because I'm here.
I mean, that and also it was really cute. So.
Well, I mean, well, that's the whole point. And I always tell people that at the table, too, like when they pick it up. Like, if you look at this thing and don't go, aw, Gene and I failed miserably because it's a book about a dinosaur. And it's,
who wants friends?
Yes, it's supposed to be adorable. So that's the whole point.
It's so cute. It's just disgustingly cute, and I love it.
Oh, you're so kind. I love that guy. Monty's great, dude. I've got pictures of him all. I've got like 3 drawings of him of other people have done just all over my house. Like, he's wonderful. He's like a member of the family.
Needs an ex-guy.
So I picked up Monty. I read a lot of comics that I kind of pick up at cons, you know, because I really like supporting the smaller infrastructure a lot. My Street Fighter comics because I'm that person. otherwise, a lot of it has been going back and kind of like relooking at stuff that inspired me earlier.
That's cool.
I'm currently attempting to collect a bunch of the Dark Horse Usagi Yojimbo.
I was just reading that before we came on to record.
It's so good.
I actually met him at Dayton at Gem City a couple years ago. Like, he's just this like this very small.
He's so nice.
He was sitting at a table with just like a tablecloth on it, and I walked by him like 4 times because he didn't have a sign or anything. Mm-hmm. He didn't have like a portfolio or anything, and I walked by and he was just this like. Very humble dude, and like he even sketched in my book. Like, I got a little pen sketch.
Oh no!
Yeah, it's awesome. To Bob, and I was like, dude, you're the best. And he was like, thanks. Just all right, see you later. And that was it. It was
yeah, he's a really, really nice guy. I met him actually at Baltimore Comic Con in 2015, I believe.
That's cool.
And he was really nice, and I gave him some of my original art that I forgot to sign, like some kind of friggin' moron. so there's that. I gave him my original artwork, and he was like, wow, I love this. This is really nice. And I didn't have anything for him to sign. So I was kind of like, oh, well, wish I had something for you to sign. So he offered me this little travel water bottle that he couldn't take on the plane back to San Francisco with him. I think it was San Fran anyway, but he couldn't take it on the plane with him, so he was like, do you want this water bottle? And I was like, yeah, maybe if you sign it. And then he freaking signed it. And I still have it.
And that's a cool story.
Yeah, it's in one of my packed up boxes right now, but generally, it sits on my desk and encourages me.
That dude's a beast. I mean, he does like, what, 9 or 10 books a year?
Yeah, he's
He inks like, them all himself. He writes them all himself. And they're all like these beautiful works of art. Like, he's just amazing.
I'm not sure he's actually real. I think he might be like a figment of my imagination.
He's a figment of all of our imagination, and thank God. He's the best.
Yeah, I've been slowly like, trying to amass a collection of the Usagi books.
That's awesome.
Picked up 47 Ronin also.
Oh, I didn't read that one.
Oh, it's so good. And I've also been going back and making another attempt to collect all this Cerebus the Aardvark volumes, which I've dropped off from
Dave Sim, everybody loves. Yeah, that's cool.
I like the idea of Dave Sim, but not Dave Sim. It's another one of those R. Crumb situations where I just adore his work, but I don't think I'd have a beer with him, you know?
I hear you.
I'm sorry. I'm like throwing out all these bad comic opinions.
Whatever, dude. If worse comes to worse, I'll just edit them all out. The episode doesn't come out till next Wednesday. I can cut all your blasphemy.
Andrew, this episode we'll call it Angela Sprecher. Angela Sprecher puts everyone on blast.
Jesus, fucking, you're like Tupac at the end of Hit 'Em Up. You're just throwing shit out there at everybody.
Right. I'm just gonna go and put everybody on blast.
That's my tagline. The Angela Sprecher. She's like Tupac.
That's a great one.
And bullets and everything.
Well, one of the things I liked about you was on your Twitter handle, I don't know if it's still there, but in your description, you were talking about how you love the Wu-Tang Clan. And I asked you straight up, I was like, who's your favorite member?
Wu-Tang member. That's what you asked.
Who is your favorite member of the Wu-Tang Clan?
RZA, man.
RZA. See, because I base my answer on how much you actually like Wu-Tang. Like, if you tell me that Method Man is your favorite member of the Wu-Tang Clan...
You don't really like Wu-Tang.
I'm kind of skeptical. That just means you saw the movie he was in, and you liked the deodorant commercials.
Well, if I remember right, I think I mentioned Meth as, like, one of the ones I like more. Mm-hmm. But I specifically older Meth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, Tikal's a great record.
But nobody ever says You God.
It's because You Got sucks.
But nobody ever says that.
I mean, you got is garbage. That's why.
And does anybody ever say Capadonna? No.
Capadonna is okay. He always shows up on a lot of the Ghostface records.
Like, but nobody ever says Capadonna either.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like,
I was at a con, and there was this lady wearing a Wu-Tang Clan shirt. I was like, oh, that's awesome. Who's your favorite member? And she said all of them. And I was like, take that shirt off. You don't deserve to wear that shirt. All of them. And then I was at another show in Akron, and I was like, hey, I saw this dude, this trashy punk rock dude. Like, he was like a gutter punk, like straight up. And I was like, dude, who's your favorite member? And he inspected Deck, and I was like, go on. You got it. Like, you're bad, dude. Like, that's it. And he had like a Wu-Tang Clan tattoo on his neck. Like, he was into it. And I was like, all right, dude, you're good.
Okay.
Nobody says inspect the deck either. So that's awesome that he said.
That's what I'm saying. He got props. I was like, damn, son, that's deep. Hardcore.
That's deep. You went deep.
You check out. You check out.
You're good. You're like the 35th chamber right now.
I had one dude tell me his favorite member was Redman, and I wanted to smack him in the head. I was like, what are you talking about? Redman?
Bad opinions.
Yeah. But then you're also into like old school hip hop too, man. Like, so I just kind of figured you'd be good at this book. I don't know why. Just from all the exterior stuff.
He's got a good vibe. He said, hey, she likes Wu-Tang. She'd fit right in with us because we had those in-depth, like in the hotel room at 3 o'clock in the morning Wu-Tang discussions while everybody's trying to sleep. And we do have those. So
that, Wu-Tang theory threads.
I love Wu. I love the Wu.
Hell.
So, yeah, so is there anything else you're going to be working on this year? Hopefully more Fredo.
Fingers crossed for more Fredo. That's probably, well, everything comes up very kind of spur of the moment. Okay. Yeah, sporadic and spur of the moment. So I could, like, do a project and have it go dead for an entire year, and then and then they contact me again. They're like, hey, do you want to do more work? So it's very, I can't predict shit.
What shows are you going to be at? What upcoming shows are you doing?
Let's see. I'll be at Anthrocon. I'll be at Smell Fress Expo.
Okay.
I'll be at Furpocalypse. That's about it right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. What about since Baltimore?
Huh?
You going to do Baltimore Comic Con?
Probably not this year. The last year I did Baltimore Comic Con, I didn't even break even.
Yeah.
So Baltimore is not, from my experience, it's not great for indie artists in the back of the artist alley.
Yeah, it's tough.
Baltimore is, it's definitely a con people go to for the mainstream stuff and the merch.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Because That's good. That's good to know because part of the people that listen to the podcast have said, you know, how come you don't do more cons? And I'm like, because tables is expensive, son.
Yes, tables is expensive, son.
So I mean, so I don't do like unless I'm pretty like I'm like I talk it over with Bob and I go, hey, I'm 90% sure I can make my table on this. I should do this, and he's like, you should do it or you shouldn't do it. And then I kind of judge it for myself and then go do it or don't do it. But it's hard to judge at the level that all three of us are at because, you know, at our level, it's not like you're guaranteed to make your table.
And I mean, and some of these tables, I mean, you're talking these bigger shows, these 2 or 3 day shows. I mean, tables are $200-$300.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're selling, you know, $10 prints and, you know, you're not getting a lot of commissions, it's hard to make $300 selling $10 prints.
Right.
Yeah, that's kinda, before travel and everything too. So
you kind of got to go where the action is. And I've noticed a lot of one day shows are good for that. I've had a lot better luck at one day shows because it's in and I'm out and I'm home, you know?
So, and they also don't have the time to like do that. I'll come back later and not come back until you're out of something that they wanted.
They always come back.
It's a good point.
Yeah. So Angela Sprecher is lovely. We are very excited to have her on the pod. Thank you for coming on so last minute like this. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
I love talking.
I know, and you're quite good at it.
Yeah, sure.
I like it when people listen to me.
You had our undivided attention.
Yeah. You're wonderful. You're wonderful.
Aww,
and
shucks.
You have websites.
You guys are nice too.
No, we're okay. We're just, you know.
We're
just
right.
We're schmucks, like you said earlier.
We're just schmuck writers. We have to be.
We should have been the word schmucks.
Yeah. Now, tell everybody where you are online so they can get at you.
So right now my main hub is Twitter.
Okay.
So that is SPRECH4 at Twitter. So that's where I post the bulk of my things. That's where I do status updates. That's, like I said, the main hub. I have kind of an art dump on Tumblr. That one is SPRECH4RT, as in Spreck Art. It's funny, whatever. Spreck Art at Tumblr. And that's also linked on my Twitter. So.
Okay.
And those are my main two hubs right now.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. I wish you nothing but the best, mainly because we're involved in this together. So it just kind of works out that way. And I got to say, like, you've been very cool about, like, the pitch and stuff, because I've been coming to you with ideas for it and the Kickstarter, and you've been very receptive. So it's been fun. I'd like to think it's partly because you think the book is good and partly because you think we're fun boys. So that's always cool, too.
It's a little of both.
Yeah.
It's that and also I would like to succeed too.
Yes, and we paid, so that's always nice. You know?
There you go.
When you pay, people are nicer to you. That's just how it works.
I love money. Who'd have thunk?
Bookends. We started talking about cash. Now you just got to talk cash shit about somebody else, the legend in the game. How do you feel about Spiegelman? What do you think about Spiegelman? You like Spiegelman?
Don't know him personally. That's one I don't have a bad opinion about.
There you go.
There's not a whole lot of in-betweens. It's either you're fucking great and I love you to pieces, or I just don't want to ever talk to you.
Many of these people kind of, they're all in the same field. I mean, no matter where you are on the tier, no matter where you are on the kind of plane of your career, everybody knows everybody. Everybody talks. Everybody has a story about, I know that guy. Oh, I heard he was a total pain in the ass. Like, oh, yeah. So it's nice to kind of hear that at least you have a good reputation. So that's nice.
Yeah, the industry is just so small that it's easy to it's easy for word to float around like that. Especially bad word.
And especially bad word. Like, if you've got a bad rep, then that's going to be hard to shake, man. You got to work hard to do that. And, you know, everybody that's come up to the table at the shows, we've been telling them that you're fantastic and you've been really great to work for, but I've been butchering your last name, so.
So it's not even me anymore, no, so, like, who cares?
Well, you might have to change your name professionally to Angela Sprecher. Angela Sprecher is awesome.
Oh, God. Like,
fuck her! That's me! She sucks.
That could have been my limelight.
That could have been me. I'd have been great.
So I mean, we could treat it like pro wrestling. We could be like Angela Sprecher, do you want to cut a promo on any other artist right now?
Or you can just change your name and then, you know, wear a mask. That'd be kind of fun too.
Get a luchador mask and be like, and it's on after.
No, I become my sumos and I take on a ring name.
That's cool. That'd be fun to see. Dude, I'd be down with that.
That's pretty killer, actually.
Yeah,
but very easy to work with, very easy to work for. And, like, did was that stuff they taught you kind of at SCAD or whatnot, or is it just kind of just your natural, easy kind of going personality?
I think it's a little of both, honestly, because, I mean, SCAD taught me how to work and work hard, but working well kind of comes with experience, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, totally it does, because you were very good at the collaboration part of it. Like, it was just very, it was very refreshing and very nice.
It was very easy, yes. Because, yeah. Like, anything we said with that we weren't sure about, then you would fix. And anything that you weren't sure about, we tell you, go ahead and do what you want to with it. So yeah. It worked out really nice for on both ends.
Because yeah, yeah.
We try not to be too picky. Like, yeah. if only if it comes into a story later, or we already talked about something else coming around in issue 2 or issue 3, then that's when we're more specific. But most of the time, we try and be as easy as possible, because the easier it is for us to work with you, the easier the comic is to put out.
Basically, that's essentially how I've always seen it work. Ergo, I try to make myself easy to work with, and people generally follow suit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so I set a nice tone.
Yeah, it, basically. And it worked with you guys, so, you know, yeah. Whatever.
Here we are. Here we are on the precipice of big things, on big success. So hopefully. All right, cool. Well, we'll talk soon. Once I get the pitch together, if you want to look at it, that'd be cool. If not, and you said if I need anything, I'll let you know.
Yeah. You know, keep in mind, I'm going to be at AnthorCon at the end of this month.
Okay.
So just like any other assets you need, you're going to want to get that to me quick.
Yeah, cool. I mean, the only thing I would probably want is maybe some character designs, or maybe just like maybe little blocks of individual panels, like the one you sent with Fredo with his pants falling down. Like, that was a cool one. I'll probably stick that in there somewhere.
I'm going to say something that she doesn't know.
Okay.
I gave the comic book to my niece's kids. Uh-huh. And I gave the comic book, well, my son has a copy. So my son is 8. My niece's oldest is 9. They both come into the room after the comic. My son read it the first time, and he's like, "Dad, the part where he falls down with his underpants on and they have bananas on them." Really funny.
So he loved that part too. She was super into it.
He's like, it is really funny because underpants had bananas on them. Like, he told me a secret I didn't know. Watching his face, he's like looking around, making sure it's okay to talk about underpants. He's like, they had bananas.
Yeah,
so like the best face too that went with it. Like, I can't do that because I don't have the 8-year-old like
enthusiasm for life. Yeah.
But he lost it. He thought that was cool. He laughed out loud when he was reading that part. He was like, ah!
That warms my cold, dead heart to hear.
You draw a good set of banana underpants.
You do.
Thank you. I've had practice.
Here you go.
Wink, nudge.
Yeah.
And the other kid comes in and goes, "I read the comic that you gave me and my brother," and I was like, "Cool. Did you like it?" He's like, "I did. I like the part where he falls down and his underpants." And I was like,
There's like 20.
I'm sensing a theme here among 8-year-olds.
There's like 20 more pages after that, kid.
I didn't say anything like that. I was like, "Did you like the rest of it?" He's like, "Yeah, it was really good. But the underpants part."
The underpants. That's what I have to do for the rest of my life. Just draw people falling down with underpants on.
Before we started recording, you were talking about seeing Captain Underpants. I mean, that's hot.
Again,
it's everything. Time is a flat circle. Yeah, right now.
That's all it is. That's all it is.
Dave Pilkey.
We'll let you get back to it. Thanks for coming on again, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
would love to come back at some point.
You never know. We have a depressed tour for Full Moon Freighter when it gets picked up. We got to do all that.
There you go. We'll
do a celebration show.
Yeah.
I'm the permanent guest. Yeah. I've usurped the throne.
That's all. Hey, do whatever, man. I'm down for it. All right, Angela. Be good.
All right. Same to you, man. Y'all have a great night.
Yeah.
You too.
All right, that was Angela Sprecher. She is the artist on Full Moon Fredo and the book that we wrote, and she's done some other things too. And again, it's not shameless self-promotion because we needed a guest.
But it is.
She came in and she filled it and she did a great job.
She's awesome.
Yeah,
so
I mean, we needed a guest. Nobody
wants all about awesome here on the Word Bros podcast.
And nobody wants to hear us talk to each other because that's just dumb and boring. So
We're schmucks.
Yeah, so there we go.
I mean, if you want to hear schmucks talk, I mean, there's a bunch of other podcasts you could listen to.
Yeah, I noticed that's been your word of the day today. Would you get
schmucks? Yeah, it's like the Pee Wee Playhouse word.
Yeah.
Because I love that word. It's a good word. One of my favorites. Like, you don't hear it very often when you're outside of New York, and then when you hear it again, you're like, oh, schmuck.
I love that word.
I do too.
My dad went through a phase where he called me a schmo all the time.
Called me a schmuck all the time. So we had the same problem. We lived in New York, and you lived in New York as well.
No, I lived in Virginia. I didn't live in New York, but my parents were both from New York.
Okay, there you go. That's where the schmo came from.
Yeah,
because I lived in New York for like 12 years, and like, I loved New York when I was a kid, and then when we moved here, I fucking hated it. So it's completely different.
You can never go home, my friend. That's what they tell you, right?
Well, I mean, it's different now because every time I've been back to New York, I'm like, everything looks so cramped to me now as an adult. Like, it's really weird. Like, everything felt like big as a child, and now everything feels so small in New York. It's like everything's up. So it's weird.
Everything's right on top of each other, man. It's crazy. Yeah,
going as an adult is a much different experience. I will say that. Going to New York as an adult is definitely an eye-opening experience. Like, you don't feel like magic and wonder from New York. Like,
magic and wonder.
Yeah, New York is not a place of magic and wonder.
Magic and wonder.
Not as an adult.
Weird. I feel you. I feel you, player. I feel you.
And FAO Schwartz closed. Yes. So, but I went there when I was a kid. I was like my son's age, and they took me to like my parents took me to like Radio City Music Hall.
That's cool.
To see the Rockettes. Yeah, it was awesome. My 7th birthday.
So that almost sounds like Batman's origin story.
It could have been. It could have went bad. Like, it could have been bad. But I didn't get orphaned at the end of it. Like,
that's good.
Yeah, that is actually a strong point in the story that I didn't get orphaned at the end. But we went to FAO Schwartz because my dad's like, you can pick anything out that you want. And that's kind of overwhelming for a kid.
Yes.
It's like 13 or 14 stories, I think I remember, of toys. I'm like,
and what if you make the wrong decision?
Well, I went with He-Man stuff.
You can't go wrong. That's a good choice.
I loved He-Man stuff at that age.
That's a good choice.
I was technically like 1986 or 87. So.
All right.
You know, so you go in there and you're like, oh, fucking He-Man, this is awesome. So I got a bunch of shit. So it was great.
That's awesome. When I was a kid, I don't know if you remember this, but my grandmother took us to the Cabbage Patch Kid factory. Like, they had like a Cabbage Patch Kid store, and like, you would go in there, and this is what Cabbage Patch Kids, for those of you who may not know, were like
a
doll that supposedly were birthed in a cabbage patch.
Yes.
And like, in the store, they had like cabbage patches on risers with kids, like the little heads in there, and they would go over there and they would pull the kids out of the cabbage patch, and then like, that one was born. And so we went there when we were kids, and it was the coolest thing I've ever seen. I actually got a stuffed bulldog from there that I still have that my daughter plays with. It she's renamed Play-Doh.
That's awesome.
Yes, and it's like an heirloom. My grandmother.
Did you get a Cabbage Patch Kid, or did you?
No. I just got the stuffed bulldog because I was a boy. I didn't want a Cabbage Patch Kid because you know, gender roles, bro. I wanted a bulldog, so I got a bulldog.
I had male friends that had Cabbage Patch Kids as a
friend. My sister was super into it.
Had that stamp on their ass.
Yep, and they had names and stuff. I saw them name them. It was really neat.
But I didn't have one. I never got one. So like, but I had male friends that had Cabbage Patch Kids. So it was a both thing. So it was just kind of a weird both thing at that time. Because in the '80s, that would be kind of weird.
Maybe. But you know what, man? That's the life we live, baby. We live the weird. We live that weird life.
We live that Word Bros life.
Yeah. So this will be out next Wednesday. Have fun at Heroes.
Thank you, sir.
Have a good time. Do some networking. Hey, feel free to give away as many Fredos as you want.
I'm not gonna give it. You see, okay.
No. I'm being serious. Give them away. Like, let's get this book picked up. I think it's good.
This is the Word Bros audience joke here, because I gave away a lot of the Elvis copies.
You gave away a shit ton of the Elvis
copies. I did, and Bobby kept on like beating me up for it. It was really funny because he'd be like, "Hey, man. Why are you giving away all your copies of the book? You don't think they will?" And I was like, no, I think they will. I just want to give some people copies because I have extra.
And
like, and then you go, You couldn't in your money, son. You couldn't in your money. And that was funny as hell.
Well, I'm going to give someone, because you're going to Heroes and I'm going to a show in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
There you go. You're going to give some away?
I'm gonna give a couple away.
What?
Yeah, it's a rare
show. I'm giving books away?
We've sold so many already. I feel that I can afford
it. We have done really well with this book. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, I think it'll be cool, man. I'm really excited about it. I
think people are starting to get on that Word Bros train.
You never know, dude. You never know.
I don't know if we figured it out. We literally have like 66 listeners.
Yeah, but I mean, hey, that's better than nothing.
No, it's awesome that 66 people feel like we're hearing us bullshit about comics every week. That's great.
So there you go. So thank you.
So keep listening. Thank you.
Thank you to the 66 people that listen to the Word Bros. And we will talk to you next week. If you're going to Heroes, have fun. If you're going to the Ann Arbor Comics Festival, which I'll be at, I'll see you there.
See Bobby. Come see Bobby at Ann Arbor Comics.
Yes, wherever you're listening to this, get in your car and drive to Ann Arbor, Michigan. I've heard it's lovely this time of year.
And he's a lovely man, and you will enjoy his presence at the
con. I'll be rocking my neckerchief, baby.
He will, of course.
Plus, you know, I'll be at the University of Michigan. I think I'll be okay there.
And I'll be at Heroes.
Yeah.
With our good friend Drew Moss at table, I think it is 505 or
505.
And I will be there helping him out. And you can come up and talk to me about Fredo, or talk to me about the Word Bros podcast, or talk to Bobby about it. We love from people that listen to the Word Bros podcast.
Buddy.
12 of you.
Yeah, all 60-something, whatever the number we worked out. So thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week. You're listening to the Word Bros podcast, thewordbros.com.